Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The young minister Timothy was instructed by the Apostle Paul concerning his ministry and concerning his work as a pastor and as a preacher. He told him in the beginning of this chapter that he needed to be strong in the grace of God. All of us need to be strong in the grace of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will give us the strength we need to do the work. We cannot do the work without relying on the strength of the Lord. He begins to instruct him about a barrage of different things, but I want to read just the last part of this particular chapter. I begin reading in verse 24, and he's talking about the servant of the Lord, the ministry. See, we're involved in a ministry, the church is. We're involved in a ministry to help people. There are many snares, many situations and circumstances that people find themselves in where Jesus is the answer. He's the only way out for them, and we give them instructions concerning being released from the trap that they fall in life. And so he begins by talking about the servant of the Lord and how to interact with these folks. Now, people fall into a variety of different things that are harmful, not only to them, but to their lives. Not only harmful to them and their lives, but also harmful to the lives of the folks that are around them. What you do not only affects you, but also affects your family. There's a ripple effect. I don't know if you realize or not, as a member of the church, those things you do as a church member affects other members of the body. And so he's talking about in these particular passages one aspect, one particular thing that a minister needs to do. He needs to help those that are snared by the devil. People are going to be snared by the devil, and you need to help them get out of the trap. And so I'm going to read starting in verse 24. He was talking about all these foolish and unlearned questions. I mean, people can get snared by theology. They can get snared by ideologies of the world. They can get snared by the philosophies of the world. Many of our young people are being snared by science that's not biblical science, not spiritual science, not godly science. It's man-made Darwin theory kind of science. It's not true. It's false. And there's a lot of folks that are being snared by the ideologies and the philosophies of this world. Listen, God's word is true. You can trust this. It's an absolute. Other literature and other books that you read are from men and they're filled with errors. But this one is without error, and you can rely on the Word of God. And so we hold the Scriptures higher than all the other literature and all the other philosophies and ideas of the world because the Word of God is true. Let God be true and everybody else a liar. Actually, this Word is so true, it's going to endure forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth would pass away, but my word will never pass away. You can trust the word of God. But there's a lot of crafty, philosophical kind of folks out there that can entice your mind into believing something that's not true. And so you have to be very cautious. There's a lot of false religions in the world. You know, it only takes like 3 to 6 weeks to radicalize an Islamist person to where they would be involved in ISIS? 3 to 6 weeks? We've got folks been in church for 15 years that are not indoctrinated. Wonder what we're doing wrong. Well, there's a lot of things that are very intriguing to the mind, but are pushed away by the heart. What we're dealing with are the souls of men. Spiritual things. But we have God on our side, and I just thought that was an interesting statistic. I'll begin reading in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. And the reason he says you can't strive, you can't argue with this, folks, people that are entrapped in ideologies and philosophies of the world, they'll try to argue with you. You don't get wrapped up in the argument. You don't try to strive with them. He says, but you be gentle with them. You try to teach them. You be apt to teach, and you have to be patient. So you patiently instruct them in the wrong that they've fallen into. You do it in meekness. Let me point out something. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength restrained. Are you with me? Strength, restraint. In other words, you have the strength and the ability to respond, but you don't. You have the strength and the ability to like clean somebody's clock, but you don't. Okay, that's meekness. Withholding strength. Restraining yourself. Though you can attack or though you can respond, you restrain yourself. That is meekness. In meekness, you kind of restrain yourself. You instruct those that oppose themselves. Listen, when you get ensnared by the devil, the philosophies of the world, you're hurting yourself. You're damaging yourself. You're opposing yourself. You're a human being and God created you. God created you. And when you go contrary to your original design, you're opposing your very nature, you're opposing yourself, you're doing harm to yourself, you're opposing yourself, and so they're opposing themselves. You try to, in meekness, instruct them carefully, restraining at times, instructing them that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, or hopefully, God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. This is verse 25. You're warning them. Listen, there's only one way out of a snare, and that is for you to acknowledge that you have believed a lie, and this, God's truth, is true. Repentance, you'll never be able to repent until you come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we have a lot of people, they want to repent, but they don't want to embrace the truth of God. There's only one way to genuinely repent, and that's for you to acknowledge the truth. Truth is interwoven in repentance. The truth that you're a sinner, the truth that you need Jesus, all these truths must be acknowledged. Even folks, listen to me, folks that have been deceived in other doctrines that are contrary to the doctrines of Scripture. People who have been ingrained and engrossed in theology that is not scriptural, that doesn't bring him to saving knowledge, must be denounced before you can come to truth. Now, I could go through a whole list of false doctrines and churches that are false in their doctrines that don't bring people to saving knowledge. And listen, you must denounce that falsehood before you can ever be saved. If you're holding on to... I'll give you an example. If you're holding on to water baptism to take you to heaven and you come to the knowledge of the truth that it's by grace through faith, you'll have to denounce works for salvation in order to experience a work of God's grace in your heart. All right, that's just the way it works, okay? You can't repent till you come to the knowledge of the truth. And when you do repent, there will be evidence that you have come to acknowledge the truth. Right? It's one of the fruits and evidences of repentance. A person will acknowledge that they've been in the wrong, and now this is the right. Verse 26. This is my text, or primary text. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, they have been taken captive by the devil to the extent that they are doing his will. I don't know if you realize or not, but if you ever fall in one of the snares of the devil, he won't destroy you. He'll let you do his will. Okay? So we are instructing them. We're trying to get them out of the snare of the devil that they might come to their senses, that they might be released by the power of God and quit doing the will of the devil and start again doing the will of God. Now that's one of the works of the ministry. That's one of the works of the church. So as I preach this message, and I'm going to entitle the message, Being Flim-Flammed by the Fowler. My text will be taken from Psalms 91 and 3. Turn to Psalms 91 and 3. It says, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Another proof text is Proverbs 6 and 5, where it says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Okay, that was Psalms 91 and 3 and Proverbs 6 and 5. Don't be flim-flammed by the fowler. Now, a fowler is a bird catcher, okay? It's like a hunter, one who traps. Actually, the Hebrew word means to lay down bait. To lay down bait in order to snare, to entrap, to catch, to put in a net. A fowler is a hunter, okay, who uses a variety of different means to catch its prey. And the Bible says that the devil is attempting to snare us, to trap us. We're trying to keep people from being trapped, and we want to get those people that are trapped out of the snare. Okay, that's one of our jobs. The best thing you can do for me on a pastor appreciation day is just don't fall into the trap to begin with. You'll save me a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of frustration if you just don't fall for the traps and snares of the devil to begin with. And listen, folks, if you fall in a snare, one type of snare is a hole that you fall into. If you fall into hole, don't keep digging, okay? Don't keep digging. The fowler. We're going to apply that to our present day time as it was applied back then. It means the devil. The devil, the arch enemy of the church, the arch enemy of the human race is Satan himself. And he's attempting to snare and trap all of us. I mean, basically, we're like going through a minefield. And you need to be aware that there's mines in the field. Every turn you take in life, there could be waiting for you a trap. And you need to be aware of that. Now, Satan is compared to the fowler, a bird catcher, a hunter, and the human race and men are referred to as weak birds. All right? Surely the Lord will deliver you out of the hand of the fowler. Deliver thyself from the fowler. Deliver thyself from the hunter. Proverbs 6 and 5. All right. So I'm going to speak to you. One of my favorite sermons preached by Charles Spurgeon was from this text. Psalms 91 and verse 3. The snare of the fowler. And, you know, as I was thinking about the devil, and he's like a roaring lion. He's just seeking whom he can devour. He's out to destroy us. Jesus said he is a liar. He was the father of lies. He seeks to harm you and destroy you. He seeks to destroy our lives and destroy our churches. And we need to be aware of his devices. The Bible says, Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, as I begin to study for this, the best way for us to keep ourselves from falling for the fowler, okay, is for us to know some of his tactics. Now, I'm not much of a hunter. Guys, listen to me. This is a perfect sermon for you to go to Bass Pro Shop and say, I need to do some Bible lesson study and go, you know, check out all the ways that hunters use to trap their prey. All right? So this is a free pass to Bass Pro Shop or Grander Mountain, or one of those wonderful places that we like to go shopping. But there's a whole collage of tactics that the devil uses, and it's much like the hunter. When I was about 13 or 14, I had a good friend at church. His name was Ronnie Patterson, and he was a backwoods gator man kind of guy. Okay, he was a hunter and so I stayed the night with him, and he wanted to go hunting, and so I borrowed my uncle's 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun and bought me some deer slugs. We were going hunting. One of the first things we did was try to camouflage ourselves. Listen, Satan uses camouflage over the trap. So I camouflaged myself. He had this stuff that we had to spray on ourselves so that the deer wouldn't smell us. It smelled like cat urine. It was awful. You know, and Ronnie's like, look, they can smell your breath. You got to eat some dirt. So we ate some dirt, you know. And so we climbed up in the tree, and I was up there with this double-barrel shotgun, and I had both barrels cocked. Man, if I'd have fired that thing, it would have knocked me plumb out of that tree. I wasn't that big at 14. And I was up there, and it was an awful smell, and it was cold, and, you know, I was camouflaged, and was wondering how I was ever going to get down out of that tree. And from that point on, I decided if I did anything outside, I was going to fish. Wasn't going to hunt anymore, and I haven't been back deer hunting since. But there are all these different, these tactics that are used to draw in the prey. I mean, I was going through Walmart. There's some kind of deer lick that you can pour out on the ground to try to get the deer to come and lick the ground where you're, I guess, in a tree stand. The devil is very careful about camouflaging his snares. There won't be a big sign that says, "This is a trap that the devil has set up." It'll be camouflaged. It will be covered where you can't detect it or see it. And when we are, when we're going through life, we need to be aware that the devil is out there to snare us. Listen, folks, we're going through this life and we need to be realizing that we can be suddenly lured into sin. That every corner that we turn, there could be something just awaiting us that will snare us and trap us. And we need to be aware of the devil's devices. So there's this whole collage of tactics. The camouflage, as I mentioned. See, what he does when he's trying to trap the bird, he adapts the snare to the conditions, to the conditions that the bird is accustomed to. And the devil does the same thing for us. He will adapt his snares, his traps, to the conditions of our lives. Listen, children, you especially. No, not just children. Old people fall in traps of the devil. Are you with me? Just because you're a mature Christian doesn't mean that you will never fall into another one of the devil's snares. You know, and it's much like the game that falls into the snares. The bear trap is just a big hole back in the day and covered up, and they would fall in this big hole, and, you know, or sometimes they would put some kind of meat or some kind of allurement, some kind of bait would be laid there. You would grab the bait, fall in the hole, you know, and you fall in this hole and you're sitting there eating this bait, you're enjoying this bait, and suddenly you look up and you realize, man, I've got myself into a hole. I'm in the snare of the devil. Oh, come on. You guys act like you've never fallen in one of those holes. You suddenly awake and look up. You've been eating this meat, and it was bait to trap you and snare you. And suddenly, you wake up, and you're in a big hole that the devil has dug, and you can't get out. Listen, folks, I know what I'm talking about. Some of you do as well. So he adapts the bait and the snare to certain conditions. Duck calls. The guy that lives behind me, he's got his own duck dynasty going on in his garage. You know, he carves duck callers, and Hunter's got three or four of them that I bought from him. And all of us, I guess, have heard about the duck dynasty thing. It's kind of big. But the alluring sound, the alluring smell, the alluring bait, the devil will lay those things out there for us to trap us and snare us, and we need to be aware of them. There are many snares. There's the snare of drunkenness. There's the snare of lust. There's the snare of pride. There's the snare of fame. There's the snare of money, and I could go on and on and on and on. And here's the thing. The hunter knows the weakness of his prey. He knows your weakness. Listen, he's not going to be coming to your front door and knocking on the front door with his horns and his tail and say, "I'm the devil, I'm here to snare you." No! He's not going to do it that way. The bait will be camouflaged. And many times he'll use those things that are the weakest in your life. He's got one of those, I guess he's got one of those infrared deer cameras that I saw in the paper, and he's taken a picture, and he's seen. See, the devil's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know all that's going on in your life, but he is watching you, and he's smart, and he's watched the human race for thousands of years. He knows what we like and dislike. He knows how to snare us.
And he'll lay out that bait just for you. A trap to snare you. And so, you know, what's amazed me, there are many, and you know, there's a whole collage of these things. I'm amazed. Somebody will detect some degree of pride in someone else, and they'll talk about this person being proud, and yet they have just as much pride or maybe even more than the person they're talking about. Pride comes in many shapes. You can be proud over being smart. You can be proud over being dumb. Right? I mean, you'd be proud of how rich you are. There are people proud of being poor. I mean, it comes in all kinds of shapes. There's different temptations that are used for different people, and we need to be aware of them. He knows what your weakness is, and he will seek to attack you where you're at. Be aware of the fowler. Don't be fooled by the fowler. Do you think he knows what is a temptation for our young people? Do you? He certainly does. He certainly does. Let me say this. Some of your fairest pleasures can become your grossest sins. He knows what you like, what you enjoy, what intrigues you, what appeals to your flesh. And he'll try to please you in order to snare you. I heard this a long time ago by an old preacher. He said, if he can't get you to fail, he'll help you succeed. Yeah, yeah. Beware of the fowler. Don't be fooled by the fowler. Let me talk about the influence of a... I've already talked about the duck call. Like I said, I did go through the handout, the flyer from Bass Pro. All these different things. And, you know, there's a lot of them. But what about the decoy? You know, when you're duck hunting, I guess you've got decoys. Ducks that look like, they're not really ducks, they're wooden ducks. They're not real, but they look like ducks, and they're floating around out there, and you're going, burr, burr, burr. I wish I had a duck call this morning. Should have had a hunter bring me one. But how often does the fowler employ a decoy to lead God's people into a sin? Listen, children, just because they walk like you and talk like you and act like you doesn't mean they're just like you. And be very careful that you're not drawn in. I mean, there's a lot of folks that say they're Christians, but they're not really saved. And it's a shame. But you need to choose very carefully who your friends are. Let me say this. If your friends do not follow Christ, you need to forsake them and you need to follow the Lord. Follow them if they're following Christ, but if they're not following Christ, as Paul said, follow me when I'm following Christ, but if they're not following Christ, do not follow them. And that goes for other people that we have great deal of respect for and admiration. I don't care if they are your pastor or whether they're preachers or they're deacons or they're Sunday school superintendents or whatever they are. If they are not following Christ, do not follow them. They may be in the fowler's snare. So choose carefully who your friends are, who your companions are. I mean, basically, all we can do is choose the best we can and go no farther than they follow Christ. Listen, if you're in a situation where you're with a bunch of people and they're starting to do things that are contrary to the Word of God and the ways of God, be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Not going to participate in that. That's not of the Lord. Listen, the things of the devil eventually have the name of the devil written all over it. Let me say this about churches that become decoys. There are churches that become decoys. They're not the real thing. They're not preaching the truth. They're not telling folks how to be saved. They're not telling people to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of churches that have the name church on them, but they're not one of the churches of the Lord. It's a decoy to lure you in. And they use a lot of pragmatism and worldly things. Listen, folks, we need the preaching of the gospel in order for people to be saved. Drama. You know, all these frilly things of the world. Satan always likes to glitter up those things he vents. Make them look pretty and nice. Christ. But listen, on the inside, they're dead men's bones. They don't take people to heaven. Be very careful, the church you're a member of and a part of and a visiting or going to, because there are churches that are snares to lure you into something that is not of God. Decoys. I can't tell people when they come to Hendersonville to go to any church of their choosing. I just can't do that. Can you? No, I say there's a sound church here. There's a sound church there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? When they go to Indiana, I say there's a sound church here. There's a sound church there. They go to Florida. Sound church here, sound church there. You just can't go to any church and hear the gospel anymore. Oh, come on. I should have got amen. Satan is the fowler, and he is snaring folks into religion that does not transform the soul. The blood of Jesus. Do you realize that a lot of these churches don't talk about the wrath of God? They won't preach on the blood of Jesus. They think the blood of Jesus is too gory. And they say the wrath of God is too scary. Listen, folks, the Bible says if you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. And you have to be washed in the blood of Jesus to go to heaven. I'm not going to stop preaching the blood, nor am I going to stop preaching the wrath of God, because it is the truth of God's holy word. It's amazing. We have people come here all the time. I mentioned this last Sunday. It's amazing. I was talking to another church pastor over in West Tennessee, and we were talking about people visiting our church that have been in church all of their life, and nobody has ever told them they have to be saved. Can you imagine? To grow up in a church, never hear that you have to be saved. Unreal. Listen, if there's some preacher or some church after your money or after your... And I'm just going to say it. I know I shouldn't, but I've got to. Look, folks, beware of the fowler. There are many... wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, the wolf, or those that would try to destroy sheep, they would sneak up on them with wool, you know. But they were there to destroy and harm. All right, I'm trying to close. Let me say this. This church, my policy is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm going to tell the truth. If you have a problem with me, you come to me and I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Okay? I renounce any... I don't go behind anybody's back and I'm not going to hide anything. I've renounced any kind of hiding of dishonesty. Let me say this. Anything done in secret will be echoed from the housetop. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm going to walk upright before the Lord, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're not fowlers. We're not laying out bait. We're pointing people to the cross. All right? I don't want yours. I don't want what you have. I seek not yours, but you, for the Lord's sake. All right, well, what if he doesn't get you to fall into the snare? I wasn't going to use this, but I'd read it in Spurgeon's sermon, and this morning on the news, was listening to the news, and I didn't hear all the report. I ran in and asked Angie what they were saying. She's studying her Sunday school lesson. She wasn't listening to the news either. But there's this hawk that knocked down a drone. I don't know if it was one of the Taliban have learned that hawks will knock down a drone. And what the fowler would do, he was very gifted in his ability to hunt and get these birds. I don't know if it was quail or whatever he was out to trap or snare. You know, he didn't like have a BB gun like I did growing up. If he couldn't get them to fall for the bait, he would send up... He had a hawk that he trained. And hawks are very territorial. And the hawk would be sent up, and what the hawk would do would knock down the bird, just like that drone was knocked down by the hawk. I've been hawked a time or two. Spurgeon talked about the hawk being those who go around and slander you. How do you deal with that? If he cannot get you to sin or fall into the snare, then the devil will slander you. He'll send up the hawk. Have you ever been hawked? Do you know how to avoid being knocked down by the hawk? And our drone operators are going to have to figure out how to do this. You've got to fly those things higher than the hawk. The hawk can only knock down something that's below him. I mean, that's his tactic. He comes down and swoops down and knocks it down. Knocks it down in order for the bird or the fowler to be caught, or the bird to be caught by the fowler. It's only when we come down do we get hurt by the hawk. Let's stay above the fray. Amen? One of my favorite situations, and turn there if you would. This is just a good chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 16. I'm not going to go through all of it. David was in a bad place. Absalom was out to overthrow his throne. He was going through this. He had some like warriors beside of him on the right side and the left side, it says in this particular chapter. There was the Shimei guy, okay, who was a descendant. The Bible says, I don't know if I can find it real quick, but it says that he was a descendant of Saul. I think it's verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16. He was of the house of Saul, and he was irate. This guy was crazy. He was out there cussing and cursing David. David's walking down the road. King David, king of Israel, walking down the road. This Shimei guy is out there on a hill. He's cussing him and cursing him and throwing stones at him and kicking dirt at him. I mean, this guy was wild. And obviously, he was all hyped up on information that was bad because David was impeccably upright in dealing with Saul. Right? We know how David and Saul went at it, and David always treated Saul upright, didn't he? Apparently, this Shimei guy, this descendant from Saul, had a lot of bad information that he had got at some campfire somewhere where everybody was just talking David bad. He didn't have the facts. He didn't have the truth. You read the scripture, and the truth is that David never, 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 never did anything wrong to Saul. Never. He's out there kicking and carrying on. And this is what, notice this. Notice what he does. One was on the right side, his armor's on the right side and the left side, and they're like protecting him, you know, from these rocks. This guy's, and one of his generals says, hey, let me go out there and take off his head, okay? This guy, there's a lunatic out here, let me take his head off. And David said, no, just let him curse me. Just let alone, let him curse me. David said to Abishai, verse 11, he says, look, just let him do this thing, all right? And he says, but notice this, if he's mistreating me, I believe David believed in the providence of God. He said, look, he's cursing me and carrying on, and God knows all about it. And perhaps God has commanded him to do this. I don't know. I don't know what God's doing. Listen, do you know the mind of the Lord? Have you got it all figured out? Sometimes we think we understand all the circumstances and all the situations of our life. We don't. And so David says, look, I don't know. Maybe this is supposed to happen. I don't know. Just let it alone. But if he's mistreating me, God will show me good. Perhaps God will show me good for the wrong that's being done to me. Wow, what grace David had. What grace. Wasn't that what Jesus did? Being reviled, he reviled not. So, don't come down, fly up in the midst of scorn and slander. Let me close. All right. I got to go back to my text. I'm going to close. Psalms 91 and 3. Well, I'm going to use the word surely just for a minute. Surely. What a promise. I think, first of all, he will keep us from the snare. Do you think there's been times in your life the Lord has delivered you from falling in a hole? I mean, man, the trap was set. And oh my goodness, had you taken another step, you'd have been a goner. Your whole family would have suffered because of it. But the Lord, by His goodness and His grace, He has delivered us from the snare. And here's another thing. Have you ever fallen in? Oh, come on. Have you ever noticed some of these traps? The harder you work to get out, the worse it gets. You realize that some of these traps that trap the leg of a little animal, that the trap will get tighter the more you pull on it? That if you're in a net, the more you fight, the more you get entangled, right? Do you realize that you can't deliver yourself once you fall in the snare? You need the help of God. And surely, I mean, it's the truth, it's a promise, He can get you out. Whatever trap you fall in, God can deliver you out of. Amen? I appreciate your attention. God bless you. Aaron, get a song. I don't know. I didn't mean to preach this long. This is supposed to be a real short one. Don't be fooled by the fowler. Just stay out of the hole, okay? Don't get in the trap. It's baited. There's many of them out there. Baited traps to destroy your marriage. Baited traps to destroy your children. Baited traps to destroy churches. Baited traps to destroy ministers. I mean, they're out there. Aren't they? Let's not be naive. Let's realize that the fowler is out to get us and he's laying out bait, trying to destroy us. But when we fall for his tactics, praise God, the Lord delivers. No matter how far deep in that hole you are, the Lord can get you out of it. Amen. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me. You may be trapped in sin. I believe there's a lot of folks. They've been trapped maybe in some kind of ideology of the world. Maybe you've doubled down, and that's the bad thing. You find yourself in a snare and you're embarrassed. There are seasoned Christians that fall into snares and they stay there because they're embarrassed that they fell for one of the baits of the devil. And so they just stay in there. As though the trap doesn't exist, as though I'm not snared, there's not a problem here. Yes, there's a problem. And there's only one way out, and that's God, amen? And we're trying to help you, but you're going to have to repent and acknowledge the truth. If you're today and you're in a snare, maybe you're in a snare of wrong theology, wrong ideology, whatever it is, wrong system of beliefs, whatever it is that you're snared in, you come to Jesus and Jesus can get you out of them. I love some of the testimonies of people that have come here through the years. I like Perry's when he went down here to Sonic. And he said, I don't want Catholic religion. I don't want Church of Christ. I don't want this. I don't want that. I just want you, Lord. I want you. Listen, if you come to the Lord with that kind of honesty, the Lord will show up. Deliver you out of whatever mess you're in. Let's sing. God bless you. Maybe somebody needs to pray.